This Saturday night on BBC Radio 3, it's now 17 minutes past 10. Time for our weekly new music programme, Here and Now, presented by Robert Warby.
Hello and welcome to Here and Now. Tonight we're broadcasting a concert of two halves that we recorded at Café Otto last year. The first half featured a performance by the American composer Carl Stone, and the second half introduced a new piece by the British composer Vicky Bennett, who works under the name People Like Us. The two composers are linked because they both appropriate recorded music and sound and work with it to generate new music. We'll hear Vicky Bennett's piece, The Mirror, in about an hour. So we begin with Carl Stone. That was Chon Ku Chon, composed and performed by Carl Stone. And that brings us to the end of his set from Café Otto in July last year. You're listening to Here and Now on BBC Radio 3 with me, Robert Warby. Don't forget that you can listen to this programme and all other programmes on Radio 3 using the BBC Sounds app. The second half of that concert at Café Otto comprised a big new piece by Vicky Bennett, aka People Like Us. She works with audio-visual material, often using familiar sound and music from the cinematic world. I asked her about how she started as a composer. What attracted her to this way of working?
I suppose it was partly availability and partly it was where I was at in my life. Just left college and I was working with hi-fi based materials. So it started off where I was working with hi-fi such as just a mixer, you know, a DJ type mixer, yeah. Home-based hi-fi, TV, radio, putting it all through the mixer, and it became more than the sum of the parts. I was finding I was making this big collage.
So when you set about doing this, were you aware of any sort of antecedents to this way of working? You know, were there any artists or people working in this way that inspired you to do what you were doing? I mean, like visual artists like Joseph Cornell, who collect materials, or sound artists like John Oswald, people like that. Were you aware of that idea of grabbing stuff and editing it together?
Not at the very beginning. I was aware of Nurse with Wounds and that kind of experimental music. And I was also a big fan of the All New Sound label, who were the kind of the British version of hip-hop. I know not exactly, but they were using sampling. So I certainly knew about sampling from, it was probably more the dance music culture, even though I wasn't interested in making that. I was obviously aware in the late 80s that people were sampling things. And so I wanted to find my own niche there, which I knew wasn't beat orientated.
So you're working with pre-existing material and the context in which you present the work suggests a certain kind of cultural political position, you might say, that's based on what is sometimes referred to as the gift economy, the ideas of freely sharing resources. Can you say something about this?
Well, the idea of the gift economy is that when you give, you don't necessarily get back from where you give, just like in real life. So if you give your work away for free, then you are allowing everyone to experience it without any attachment to the idea of what will happen from that. But what does happen is eventually you'll reach someone through that gift who will give back to you in another way. And a lot of the time it's, you know, a curator or a programmer, that kind of thing.
So how has your work changed since you began in the 1990s? How would you say it's developed?
Well, it took a huge leap in 1990 and 2000 with the birth of affordable high-speed broadband and affordable high-speed computing. And that was the vision I always had. So, you know, when we go back to 10 years before that, I moved a long way in those 10 years in terms of availability of information to me, both in terms of knowing who my peers and contemporaries were, but also in access to the actual physical material that I could use, or digital in this case.
So when you begin work on a piece, do you have an overall idea of what the end result will be?
Yeah, I mean, I do have an umbrella subject because I think it's important. Well, you kind of have to know the output medium or media that you're going to be using, and you tend to have a time constraint on how you do it, which also involves having to have an umbrella subject that you can then have room for manoeuvre underneath in how you manipulate that subject matter.
So does the material come out of ideas, or do the ideas come out of the material that you're working with?
Both. It's very much process-led, though. I think it's a bit of an illusion that the artist or creative has gleaming ideas. You do, but they're not just where you sit there, you know, and wait for them. It tends to be that you interact with, in my case, the actual material, or for a creative person, it's an interaction with other human beings.
And of course, it's changing all the time as you work through it. As new material comes in, it's changing. Does it change the big idea sometimes?
You go in deeper.
Right.
So the conversation, much like with another person, the more you talk about a subject, the more depth you find within that material. And so that your material not only mirrors you, but it informs you, because particularly with time-based media, i.e. media that moves, it's not static, you are literally having a conversation with the content. And then if you're working with a timeline where you're collaging, the content is then having a conversation with another piece of content, and you're watching them have a conversation. And it's really exciting and magical.
Now, we're going to hear your recent piece, The Mirror, which was premiered at FACT in Liverpool in the spring of last year. And how did this come about? How did this piece come about?
I always thought that it was a very good subject matter for going beneath the surface. The mirror is a wonderful metaphor for a surface, which also is the way that we experience not only creative media, but also life is always through an illusion of division between us and the thing that we experience. And so the mirror is a wonderful thing that in movies and in music, we always think of going through the mirror, seeing reflections, something that isn't us, but it is us. And so there's a wonderful play with the idea of duality and the surface, which doesn't actually exist.
So this piece involves a lot of cinematic material, but this is going to be heard on the radio. How do you think the listeners might consider what they're hearing, sort of knowing there's a very strong visual element?
Close your eyes and let it step inside.
So I'm thinking this is kind of cinema for the ears.
It's absolutely. It's a psychedelic audio-visual experience.
The Mirror by Vicky Bennett, a.k.a. People Like Us. It was recorded at Café Otto in East London in July last year, and the piece is now available on CD. Also recently available on CD are early pieces from the 1980s and 90s by Carl Stone, just released on the Unseen Worlds label. So that brings us to the end of tonight's concert. Next week in Here and Now, Tom Service introduces a concert from the London Contemporary Music Festival, recorded in December, including music by Laurence Dunn, Pascal Cuiton, Michael Pissarro and Marianne Amaché. Please do join in for that if you can. Until then, good night.
And next week, the programme returns to its regular time of 10 o'clock. This evening's edition of Here and Now is presented by Robert Warby and produced by Philip Tagney. I'm John Shea, and I'll be presenting Music Through the Night, beginning in an hour's time with a concert from Switzerland, the Lausanne Chamber Orchestra, with conductor Christoph Eschenbach and pianist Christopher Park, in music by Haydn and Schumann. Join me for that if you can from 1 o'clock. Right now on BBC Radio 3, it's a little after 12 midnight, and that means it's time for Geoffrey Smith's Jazz.